Well, hello, everybody.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Today is April 14th, and I am welcoming you to Blog Talk Radio, Healing Hearts His Way. And so I created this blog talk to explore with one another different things that God puts on my heart. And each week, I just randomly choose a subject. I don't really plan very far ahead of time. But for today, God put on my mind the subject of suffering. Because as Christians, a lot of what I've been talking about is like before you become a Christian and about how you have a broken heart and how Jesus came for those with a broken heart. And but there's something that's been on my mind, and that is about suffering as a Christian. So before we go ahead and open in prayer, because this is God's show, and I am just being His servant, and I said yes to His request. So Father in heaven, I just thank you, God, that you are a kind, loving God. That you are a God who did come to rescue those with a broken heart. That, God, you came to preach the gospel to the poor. That you came to lift up those with your mercy, that others would just walk on past. Father, I thank you that you are compassionate, that you are all patient, and that you gave your Son for us, that we could be reunited with you. Jesus, I thank you for the sacrifice so that our sins could be forgiven. I thank you, Father, for just scooping us up like children into your arms when we come to you. And I ask that you would just breathe your breath upon this show and let it touch people's lives, Father, who listen now, either while the show's running alive or who listen later. Sometime they just may randomly be drawn to this. But that you are a God who is alive and well, and you are searching the earth with your eyes constantly looking for someone that you can do something good for because you are a good God. So, Father, help us to understand the subject of suffering. As a Christian, suffering, I think we can all understand the suffering we bring upon ourselves. We learn that as children pretty quick with our parents. When we do something wrong, there's a penalty to pay. But then life goes on, we become adults, and we find ourselves in different categories of suffering. So I just ask, Father, that you enlighten us on this day, that you would stir some good conversation, and that you would just bless us in every way. And we invite you to be here and just take over, Holy Spirit, have your way. And we thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So in talking about suffering, as I just alluded to, suffering can be caused by God for us to bring us discipline into our life. Well, before I go totally into the subject, let me just remind everybody that this is a talk show. Someday I won't be the only one here just feeling like I'm talking to myself, but it's kind of good to get your thoughts out and to go over what you've been thinking about throughout the day. But since it is a talk show, there is a number you can call to call in and chat with me on this subject today, trials. The number is 646-787-8522. The number is 646-787-8522. Okay, so it seems like when trouble comes, we have to ask ourselves the question of what kind of trouble is it? Why is it here? Can it be a temptation, which is from the devil? And temptation can be a result of our pride or exposure. And how can we discern if our trouble is from the devil? Well, we can discern that because it leads us astray from God. And our right response to that would be to resist it. So we are not to fall into this trap of the enemy. And God tells us that our flesh is weak, But he tells us that with him we can do all things. And if we don't heed the words of God when we are faced with temptation, our ending will be sin. And if we resist, then we can listen to all the things that the Lord has taught us on this subject, we will have victory. So then there is a discipline the Lord uses, and sometimes that occurs when we have been disobedient to Him. But we can tell if it's from Him because our discipline will fit our infraction. It won't be something that's harsh and horrible. Perhaps if it wasn't something that was a really big dishonest and disservice to the Lord. But he tells us not to make light of his discipline. And when he disciples us this way, what God is trying to say to us is that we are his sons. And he wants us to walk in holiness. And so through his divine intervention and his guiding, there are times when he will discipline us. But he wants it to end with our holiness because the whole purpose is that God is working to, after we become a Christian, he's working to help us become in the image of Jesus. When Jesus came to this earth and he walked out this life, he gave us the examples of the ways that he wants us to look as a Christian. And so if the Lord is giving us discipline, his end result for us is to have fear and reverence towards him and to be able to walk in holiness. So in Romans 8:28, I think it was probably the very first scripture I memorized to heart because I think I was born into trials. They have just always been a part of my life. And so I've been curious to know why suffering and to be able to look back upon my life and to see which of the categories that my own suffering has fallen into. In Romans 8:28, it says, "For we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose." So once we are a Christian, we can stand on this promise from God that says, when he loves us and we love him, everything that happens in our life is for a purpose. It's to perhaps strengthen us. And in James 1, it says, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the victor's crown, the life God has promised to those who love him." Trials, I think, are the category that I'm just the most curious about. What is God doing, allowing a trial to be placed upon us once we become a Christian, once we sacrifice our life to him, and once we move over to following God? Then, sorry, that was my dog looking out the window. You know, why does God allow us to have great hardship? And if we have a test and a trial, does it always mean it's from God? And no, I don't think it always means it's from God. I do think the devil puts those types of things upon us as well. But I think they are a result of following God. And the way that we can know that is because it creates within us, it proves our faith. So if we're having to have our faith proven, that's what a trial will do because it tests our faith. And our right response is to persevere and not to shrink back from this trial, but to keep marching through it because God's saying, that He's always with us and that He'll never leave us, and that in His name, His name is in us. And as we're hidden in Christ and Christ is in us, we can walk through anything and we can just persevere through this. And these type of things either end with, they end with glory, that we get to wear the glory of God, which is an honor and a privilege, and which is bearing the image of Jesus in our own life. So, so what is a Christian to do when they're faced with disappointment, disaster, or despair? We've already stated that Scripture teaches us that all things work together for the good of those that love God and are called according to His purpose. Yet when we encounter difficulties, we often begin to wonder, why? Why me? Why is this happening? And we want to know the answers. And so I think I'll, like I said in the before, a big answer to the why is because God is molding us into the image of Jesus. And, well, He is the master potter, and we are being molded into His image. And it's not going to happen without some discipline and some of God's handiwork, because as being in the flesh and walking in the flesh, we're not going to naturally choose the high road that's going to give us character, because it hurts and it's difficult and it's hard until we have disciplined ourselves to walk more from the Spirit, which is a long process and doesn't come immediately. Although God gives us, He's such a wonderful teacher, because He gives us glimpses along the way of what it's like to be in the Spirit. He gives us little victories, and He shows us always, for me, maybe for you also, He always shows that next level that makes me want to push forward to obtain that. It's like I can always see the prize at the end of me walking through something, which is a wonderful motivation to keep walking through it. So when we say God wants us to develop and mature spiritually, when we respond to God's grace and we believe in Jesus, then we're born again into the kingdom of God. And at our moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in our spirit. He confirms our relationship with God. He comforts us, and He leads us into all truth. So then God begins to do His supernatural work of transforming us into the image of Christ, who is perfect. So it's really a super exciting thing to know that when we're going through these trials, God is maturing our faith, and He uses these tests and trials to develop our character and our ministry. So every one of us, before God formed us in our mother's womb, He put within each of us gifts. He put within each of us, He hardwired into our personality, into our genetic DNA, different giftings and things from Him that He wanted us to show on this earth for His kingdom. And the different giftings that God has for us are, some are teachers, some show mercy, some are there to exhort, some are servants, some are rulers. You can find all these listed in Romans 8. Romans 12 is the grace gift. And so as we have those things hardwired inside of us, then sometimes it seems like it just takes pressure to find out what those things are that are inside of us. And when we respond to these trials, we begin to experience the power of God's Spirit. So it's manifested in our life through the fruit of the Spirit, through love and joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Peter says to us, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." So, I know that that's a tough pill to swallow when you're walking out your existence in the flesh on earth. But if you can just lift your mind up and you can look at that this life is really a vapor, something that's going to fade quickly, something that's temporary, and you can look to the scripture that says to us we're going to have eternal life. So when we get to heaven, you know, I don't know about you, but for myself, I couldn't think past just getting there forever. In fact, I couldn't think past that point until perhaps in the last year or so when I finally said, I stopped saying, "I hope I get there, I hope I make it, I hope I can make it into the kingdom of God and into eternity and shed my mortal body and go into immortality." And then all of a sudden, one day I was like, what am I going to do there? Because I need motivation. And for myself, motivation is just really important. I need to be able to see the big picture. I have to know what this is all about. And I started thinking there's a possibility I might get there, although through no works of my own. I started thinking I could get there, and what was I going to do once I got there? And I started looking at some scripture, and I just started noticing that as God molds us and shapes us, I don't think that it's only for this life. I think it's for eternity. Because he says he's the master potter and we are his piece of artwork. And he is molding us for our duties and responsibilities that we will walk in for all eternity. He tells us that we are kings and priests on this earth. Well, what does a priest do, defined in the Bible? A priest ministers to God. He goes before God and he ministers to God. And he brings the people before God, and he stays in prayer before God, and he seeks God's mercy, and he communes with God, and he gets to know God. And so as a priest, and this isn't the subject of today, so I'm just going to barely touch on this subject, we do our time with God, and we get to know God in a deep, deep way, so that we can intercede for other people. We can intercede for people that are in trials and suffering for whichever category that trial was brought on. But we can intercede and ask God to have mercy upon them and to show compassion and for healing. And so, you know, God's just putting it on my mind right this second to pray for a good friend of mine who might be listening. And so I'm going to pray for Clara. Clara is just a sweet friend of mine. We've been friends for a very long time. And she's 80, I believe, 3 years old. And she's just the most cheerful, positive person. And if I think of anybody who's a wonderful example of a Christian, it is my friend Clara. And so I just couldn't move on in that teaching without saying a prayer for her. She's gone through a lot of physical things. Father in heaven, I just pray now I'm asking you, God, to just take some time to look down upon my friend Claire. And God, as you know, she is your faithful daughter. She is your servant, and she has been with you for many years, and she is here with us walking out this life and showing us a great example of what it's like to be a Christian. And God, as you know, she's has some physical ailments at this time. Father, and I would like to pray for her eyes specifically because she's had some glaucoma and surgery, and the surgery did not reduce the pressure in her eye to the point that it needs to be. So, Father, we don't want her to have another surgery. We don't want her to have to endure more things like this when you are the Almighty Healer and you promise to heal us. You ask us to call out and to reach to you, God, and you will take care of us. You will take care of our needs. In fact, that you enjoy doing those things, Father, and that they are our rights as your children to be able to come to you and ask you for these things. And Father, while I'm praying for people's eyes, I am also going to ask that you please be with my father-in-law, Scott Hannon, that you will, Father, look at his eyes, and that you will just take this time to heal his eyes of the disease that he has, and that you would restore his vision, that you restore Clara's vision. Father, that is one of the things that Clara's talked about. She desires for her vision to be restored, and so does my father-in-law, because, God, we love reading your word, and we love learning new things, and that's a part of just our personalities, and their personalities are very much that way. So I just lift them up to you, asking that you would take this time and that you would just look at their eyes and give this healing to them that Jesus Christ paid for with his stripes, Father, and that is our right as your children to declare that. And so I thank you for that, God. I thank you that you just put this on my heart. And I trust in complete faith, Father, that you will remove anything from them that is blocking this prayer from being answered, that you will just take away anything that could block that healing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. So I say that prayer, which leads me straight into the fact that after we have served our priestly duties with God, we get to be kings. And as a king, what the Lord has showed me is that we get to declare and decree. So as we receive our decrees from the Lord, as we stand on his promises, and as we receive the decrees from him, the promises that he's given us, then we can declare them out over our life. He tells us that there is power in our words, that there is death and life in our words. And so we ask you, God, to help us to understand these matters, because wow, you have really just brought them to my understanding in a deeper way in this past year, and I think the subject just goes on and on in a deeper way. And so, Father, I just ask that you will also be with each of us and help us to understand what it means to be a priest and a king on this earth as Christians. And so, thank you for that, Father. So the trials and tests we encounter, there can be lots of different kinds. There can be fiery trials, which are intense encounters or struggles. They can create bursts of anger and grief inside of us. There can be infirmities, which are physical limitations and illnesses. There can be reproaches, ridicule, and rejection on account of our faith or our holiness. There can be persecutions, harassment, and oppression due to our religious convictions. Necessities, our wear and tear of our daily responsibilities, our shelter, clothing, food, these things are difficult in our day and time. Distresses, which are disappointments and hurts, tribulations, unusual pressures and challenges, and temptations, which are opportunities for us to yield to our sinful nature. So our responses make all the differences with our trials. But the Apostle Paul told us to regard our tests and trials as opportunities to grow spiritually. Instead of despairing, he said that the glory of God would rest upon us during those trials. If we endure the tribulations, knowing that they work patience in us, and patience experience and experience hope, and hope makes us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us in Romans 5. If we don't accept God's grace to deal with this suffering, there's an opportunity for us to become bitter. And our bitterness is a horrible trap that the enemy likes to put upon us, and it can cause us to spiral down in an opposite direction of what God ever wanted for us. He doesn't want us to be broken in a bad way or so oppressed that we can't lift ourselves up. But then that's the key point. We can't lift ourselves up. It's really up to God to lift us up. And through these trials, I believe God wants us to cry out to Him. He tells us that He alone must become our source of strength, provision, protection, and direction. He has the ability to protect us from every trial or distress. He tells us in Psalms 50, we are told to call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. God's goal through our trials is to strengthen us and to create our dependence upon Him. Well, this might sound strange, but we're also exhorted to give thanks to God when a trial comes. And I may repeat myself on some of these scriptures, but He tells us in everything to give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ concerning us, that we are to be thankful rather than to complain. And that takes a conscious act of our will and a sacrifice of our natural desires. The Lord tells us to do all things without murmuring and disputing, that we may be blameless and harmless as sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom our light shine in the world. Thanking God does not mean that we will thank God for evil. It means that we are thanking God for the benefits that He intends to happen through the things that He allows. He tells us to rejoice in our suffering. Rejoicing is a response of the Spirit. It is not a response of the flesh when we're going through hard times. It's a response of the Spirit. It takes a higher stance to say, I can rejoice and know that God has me. He's not going to let me go through this without giving me a great reward. And that reward comes to us in the opportunity to rejoice in developing more patience and endurance and hope. So we should try to discern the positive benefits that come about through our situations and ask the question, why did God allow this to happen? Because it gives us opportunities to know God and to bring about the glory of God. So we can believe and act on the Word of God. And when Jesus was tested in the wilderness, He responded by to each of the temptations that the enemy tempted Him with Scripture. He responded with the Word of God, and we can follow that example and successfully engage in our own spiritual warfare by proclaiming truth in the face of our tests and our temptations. We are exhorted to overcome evil with good. Jesus gave His disciples a clear set of instructions, and He tells us to love our enemies. He tells us to bless those who curse you, to do good to those who hate you, and to pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. I don't know about you, but I have done those things that He asked us to do, but when I did them, I had to pray to have the strength to even be able to do it, to pray for those people that give me grief here on earth. But I have found that once you do what God asks you to do, even though a lot of times you do not feel like doing it, then with the obedience, the act of obedience, comes the reward of understanding. And sometimes it just doesn't come until after you do what he asks you to do. So the rewards of responding to a trial with grace is that God produces in us godly character, and he gives us exceeding joy in his glory, and that in God's strength, he gives us strength in our weaknesses, that we get to fellowship with Christ and be a partaker of suffering, that we can fellowship with him through this. He says, in Philippians, it says, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Well, for myself, that's just the most excellent reason to walk through grace through a trial. It touches my heart. God gives us heavenly rewards when we walk through his trials, and he tells us that if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him, and if we suffer, we shall also reign with him, and we will be allowed to reign with Christ through all eternity. So those are my thoughts on trials and temptations, and I would sure like to hear yours, and I'm so thankful to have a caller, 812-256. Hello.
Hello, Mitzi. Hello, Mitzi.
Ah.
How are you doing tonight?
Ah.
Good.
Oh, I'm tired.
Are you?
It's been a long day, but I don't know. I'm getting a little bit rejuvenated thinking about this subject. God was just giving me some revelation while I was talking about it, so that was awesome.
You know, suffering as a Christian is hard because we often hear other people say, well, if you're a Christian, you shouldn't have to suffer. If something's going on in your life, then you must not be doing something right. And, you know, that's not always true because, you know, God said he's called us to suffer in this life, and not because he wants to see us suffer, but because he's trying to do something in us to make us holy and righteous like he is. And a lot of times as Christians we think, why do we have to go through these things? It's so hard, and you think. And, you know, being human, we don't like to suffer. We don't like to have diseases. We don't like to have problems in our lives. We don't like to have things going on that we have to suffer from. But Christ said, and the Holy Spirit told me this once, he said, there's two things to remember. Remember, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And if God is for us, who can be against us? He said, you know, if you remember those two scriptures and always keep them in mind, you'll realize that, first of all, you won't be without Christ because he's always with you. And secondly, you know, if God is for us, who can be against us? So, you know, suffering in this life is not easy. It's hard. But if we remember who's with us, because when we become Christians, we have to realize that God is saying, we're saying to God, we want to live the life you've called us to live. And if you've called us to live this life, then we know that we can't do it on our own. We have to have your help. And in having that help and asking God for that help, when we have problems, when we have difficulties, when we are suffering from something and we keep our focus on Jesus, we can know that because he's with us and he's in us, that we can get through these things. And like I said, it's not easy. There are times when you go through things and you think, why me, Lord? In other words, but yet he says, if you look to him, if you focus on him and keep trusting him, then you'll get through it. And I know there are times in my life when I've had really hard things happen to me, and I've trusted God, and you come out the other side, and he said you'll go through the valley, but he'll get you through it. And when you come out the other side, you think, wow, I mean, I know I didn't make it through there. I know I had to trust in God to help me through. And the sufferings that you go through are for a reason, And we need to, you know, we need to accept that and go on, like you were saying before about you know, let's see, what was it? I forgot. Now I lost my train of thought. But when we're going through sufferings, that we look to Him and know that He will be there walking with us and helping us throughout our course as we go, you know.
Well, and while you were saying that, it's like I got a little revelation of that God, through a trial, it's like God's asking us to come into a deeper relationship with Him. Because mm-hmm. we're just sailing along and we're just doing life and things are going fairly smooth. We might have our few little problems, but when a difficulty comes that's so big that you have to really start focusing on that and you start thinking of how am I going to take care of this, and you realize that you absolutely can't, then God's mm-hmm. saying, hello, here I am. mm-hmm. I've been waiting mm-hmm. for you to call upon me. I can do this, you know.
Right.
Like I just saw Him saying, I've been trying to pull you in, and maybe this is what it's going to take for me to pull you in this river with me. So.
Right. Right. Yeah. It like I said, we're human. We don't like to go through suffering, but Paul said in Romans, he said, you know, because we know that the sufferings produce perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. That's what God wants. Like you were saying before, He's a master potter, and He molds and shapes us. And as He's molding and shaping us, We're screaming out, going, that hurts. We don't want that to happen to us. That hurts. But once you get that pot to the point where you can glaze it and put it in, you know, and make it useful, and you know, he's chipping off all those areas of your life that are not good for you, and he's making you a new person. And you know, like I said, sometimes that's not easy and it's hard, but yet it in the long run it's going to be for our good. He said everything He does is for our good. But, you know, as you go through trials, you're in sufferings, you don't, sometimes you wonder how this is going to help come, you know, be for your good. But when you go through them and come out the other side, you can see, you can look back and see where, yes, it was hard. Yes, I didn't want to do that, but I can see now why I went through it. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I have difficulty myself of being able to say, this is why I went through it. I think that's why in the beginning I was trying to go through like categories, like what causes those? Because, of course, I'm trying to like not step on the mine in the field. I'm trying to avoid trials. But
yeah, sometimes you don't see it right away. Sometimes you might not see it for a few years, you know. But something will happen where you'll look back on it and you'll know that each step you take in your life, God is building on that for another step, because you go through things, and then you, once you go through them and you look back, because you're involved in something else, you can see where that step was necessary to get to the next step of where He's leading you.
Mm-hmm. So I'm glancing over the scripture in 1 Peter 4. It says, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourselves with the same inner conviction that He had. To be free from sin means bodily suffering, and the man who accepts this will spend the rest of his time here on earth not in being led by human desires, but in doing the will of God. So it seems like as we walk more in the Spirit and deny the flesh, there's just a certain amount of suffering that's going to come from that. Because our human flesh is always at war with the Spirit.
Right. Yeah. That's true.
That's deep. it's just kind of deep that we walk on, we're a human body that's to be governed by our Spirit, but it's taken me so many years to get to the point to say, I'm really supposed to be able to do this, and with God's help, I can do it, because I've walked on the other side most of my life. So,
yeah. Well, you know, Paul says that in all things, you know, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and we have to remember that when we're going through a trial. You know, I'm the type of person that I've always been. You know, I can do this. I can take care of this. I can handle this. Well, you know, sometimes Jesus says to you, you can't handle it. You know, you have to have me help you through it, because we're just human. We can only do so much. And sometimes it takes the power of God in order to get things, you know, done for your good. And a lot of times we don't think about that, or we don't even allow it, except as our walk with Jesus goes on, we can come to understand more things about that. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
it does. And yeah, because our walk with God is to be for our whole life. So and God's just not in a big hurry like we are. And so
yeah.
It's like you said, you might not understand what he's like. When I watch artists work, I can't see what they're doing. When I watch one of my sons draw, when he begins, I'm just thinking, what is he drawing? And
yeah.
As I watch it emerge, I'm like, wow, that's amazing how he started there and ended up there. Because
mm-hmm.
in my mind, I would have probably drawn an outline and then went for the little details, and he might start at the details.
Mm-hmm.
And I just imagine that that's how God is. He definitely creates. He's an artist. But he also tells us that when we choose to follow him, there is a cost, and he tells us to weigh the cost. And
yes.
I don't think really any of us really understand when we say at that moment, yes, I'll go, what the cost is going to be. But he gives us enough of the glimpse probably to make that assumption to be able to answer.
I think that's true. I don't think you know the total cost when you say that. You're supposed to count the cost. He says that. You're supposed to count the cost. We don't understand the whole picture. We understand it enough to know that we need God in our life. We need him to be there. We don't understand it all. And it's a process. It takes time as he leads us, and we go through different things, and we learn different things. But, you know, it's the whole focus and the whole aim of it is to follow him. And he said, you know, that's what he said to his disciples. You know, remember when he picked them, he said, follow me.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'll make you fishers of men. So he's saying that, you know, he's in the process now of doing that with the world, and he wants us to follow him so that we can help him do the things he needs to do in order to get more people in the world to understand, to have eternal life. That's his goal. That should be our goal, you know. And yes, we do have to suffer through things, but it's not all suffering, you know. It's like anything. It's like you do go through bad times and you go through good times. But as long as we focus in on what he's trying to teach us, we can do the things he's called us to do. And that's it. It is a calling. It is a calling.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, God tells us that he refines us like silver. There's a scripture that caught my attention when I was preparing for this today in Psalm 66. I'm going to read it from the New International Version. It says, praise our God, O people. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For you, God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let men ride over our heads, and we went through fire and water. But you brought us to a place of abundance. So when I was reading that today, I got kind of captured by the part that says, you brought us into prison and laid burdens on our back, because I never thought of God as doing that. But I understand the parable of, you know, he's refining us like silver, and he's sending us through the fire and the water to refine us. So that was really interesting for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So have you been able to rejoice in your suffering?
You know, that's an interesting thing, because sometimes you can. Sometimes you know, if things aren't really, really bad, you think, you know, you have to praise God and say thank you, Lord, for all that you do and all the things that you're, you know, at things that we're going through. Sometimes, though, when you're going through really stiff trials, it's a little bit harder because, like I said, we're human and we don't want to go through things like that. But that's that. I guess that's the thing you strive for. I can say humanly, I don't always accomplish that because, you know, when you're going through something, you're thinking, boy, this is tough and I don't know if I'm going to make it through. But I always know that I go back to God and I know I go, I say, you got to help me. And each day you get up and you say, Lord, you're going to have to help me because it's hard, you know. And I can go to bed at night most times and say, you know, I know God's been with me today. I know he's helped me. I've felt it, you know. But I'm like that saying they used to say, you know, God's not through with me yet. That be patient because God's not through with me yet. Because even as Christians, we have problems in the fact that, you know, things get to us and we, you know, we might lose our temper and stuff like that. And people say, oh, that's terrible if you're a Christian and you lose your temper. Well, you know, we're human still yet. You know, we don't get up in the morning and say, well, today I think I'm going to lose my temper. You know, we don't strive to do that, but you know, we do because we're human. But God forgives us, and He knows that we're human, and He goes on with us. You know, and He walks with us, and if we keep walking with Him, we're going to understand the things that He's called us to see. So, yes, sometimes I do, Mitzi. No, sometimes I don't. So that's the straight of it for me. But I strive to do that. I mean, that's what He's called us to do, you know.
And I have the same answer. I can have both feelings in the midst of a day or an hour. Mm-hmm. There's the moment I'm saying, oh, thank you for this. I know it's doing something really good in me. And then I'm like, why do I have to go through it? This is too hard. So. Yeah. I just think that's probably our natural response to hard trials.
And I think that a lot of times, I think a lot of times Christians, you know, people think, well, Christians shouldn't have to go through that, or that's horrible if you're going through that. Or even Christians say that about other Christians, you know, they say, well, you know, but the thing is, you know, sometimes you have to walk a mile in somebody else's shoes before you realize what's going on with them. And, you know, you talked before about forgiveness. You know, and sometimes you have to know that, you know, what the other person is going through. It's not easy to forgive, but I know this. I've forgiven people before too, and I know this about that if you do, it's better for you actually than it is for them sometimes, because sometimes they don't even care, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But for you to forgive is the important thing, because you don't hold that animosity and that hatred and that anger and that all that kind of rage inside you. You let it go and give it to God, and He takes care of it. If you hold on to that,
absolutely,
you know, it is not good for you, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's what I'm saying. It's just a work in progress, and you keep going back to God and Jesus and saying, Holy Spirit, help me, you know. And that's all I can, you know, that's all I can do as a Christian is do that, you know. And a lot of people wouldn't agree with that, but that's the way that, you know, that's the way that I see it.
I totally agree with that. That God calls us to come into a deeper relationship with Him, and I really appreciate your thoughts on this subject, Diana. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Well, thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
And so I appreciate Diana's conversation with me. She's just so sweet to be a faithful caller and to help me out with starting this talk show. And today we're talking about trials, and you can call in to the number 646-787-8522. And I have caller 845-359.
Yeah, hi, Mitzi.
Hi,
this is Patricia. Hello.
Hi, Patricia.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I had a quick dinner, and then so I can listen to you.
Awesome. Well, thank you for calling.
You're welcome. I was listening to the conversation, and I wanted to add, everything is right on. But I wanted to add also, I think that when people first get saved and they have that wonderful feeling of being on, you know, a cloud, and nobody really actually discusses with them the trials that may be coming in their lives, or that, you know, when the honeymoon period is over with, you know, how to react like that. There's nothing wrong. You know, a lot of people are looking back to see, did I do something wrong? Did I? And they're not equipped to understand that we need to work out our own salvation, and we need to let the Holy Spirit do a work in us, and that means bringing forth what does not belong there. And, you know, I find that with myself over the years, I have learned not to so much focus on the trial that I'm in, but trying to focus on what God is trying to show me. Look at my behavior. Is my behavior lining up with the word? Is it lining up with the fruit? If it's not lining up with the fruit, then I need to go to the Father to say, okay, this needs to go. My frustration needs to go. My anxiety needs to go. My fear needs to go. And I've walked many times around the same trial. many mm-hmm. times. In order to get, I'm like, here we go again, Lord. You know, what's going on? And he's like, you didn't learn the first time. And then there are also sometimes where he brings me back around again for a deeper depth of knowledge of him. And mm-hmm. I think that there's some times where, okay, I'm out of this trial and I'm doing okay. You know, he gives me that little reprieve. And I'll go back in. I'm like, well, did I learn the first time? And he's like, yes, you did learn the first time. But I'm bringing you back around so you can go deeper. And so you can get a greater depth of who I am. Somebody once asked me if I would change anything in my life, or any of the trials or tribulations and the hardships that I've been through. No, because I wouldn't know my Father the way I know him today. And my favorite scripture is Romans 8:28, when all things work together for good. You know, it's looking for the good and to look what God is trying to do. And I think that sometimes people get stuck on the trial and the emotions and, you know, what their thought process is going through, and they're not looking to see what God is trying to say. And sometimes when you can catch on to that, what is God doing? What is God saying? Okay, I agree with you, Lord. I'm okay. You know, give me that oil to rub on me so I can be more resilient. That I'm not. I feel like I'm going to break. I need to be stretched more. And I find that I still go through trials just like everybody else. But I can't explain it, but it's an easier. It's being able to thank God for them, sincerely thank God, you know, sincerely thanking Jesus and saying, oh, Lord, you know, you love me so much that you want to correct what's going on inside of me so I could be more like you, so I can help somebody else out there. And I just wanted to just bring that forth.
Well, you just greatly encouraged me. I was taking notes because your words were greatly encouraging my heart, because I'm going through trials. I would say most of us are, and
yep.
That was a really good point to remember to, first of all, that nobody tells us we're going to have these trials. I remember when I first began to read my Bible, and I was in a Bible study, and they read the scripture, resist the devil and he will flee, and it scared me. I said, uh-oh, you know, that means he's coming sometime. And so it's good to be reminded, especially with new Christians. They don't know what's happening or why, but that it's a loving God that's working with us. And it's good to, you just brought up a really good point for me to think about, is what is God trying to say to me? Because I just keep thinking in my own mind, I know I'm going through something, I just don't know what it is. And I never thought to actually just say, God, what are you trying to tell me? I never thought of that.
Yeah,
that's so funny.
Yeah, what are you trying to say? What are you trying to tell me? I remember one time I was having problems with money issues. Not that I didn't have money at the time, but everything just seemed to be falling apart in a certain situation, and I came out, I went into my job to pick up my paycheck, and my paycheck was not there. And I get paid every 2 weeks. And I came out, I was so angry, I was so mad. This is going back some time ago, and I'm sitting in the car, and I said, I can't believe that I worked for 2 weeks, and they can't find my paycheck, blah, 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 blah. And I'm going on and on and on and on and on. And then all of a sudden, I came to a complete stop. I said, well, wait a second here. I said, if anybody ever saw me as a Christian acting like this in my car, I would be totally embarrassed. You know?
I'm sure we've all had a lot of those moments.
Yeah, right. And then I was like, okay, Lord. And then I said to him, what is it? What is it? You know, because this was going on for a period of time with certain wacky things. And he says to me, I want you to make sure that you know that's my money. That was the talent that I gave you, so you were able to go in there to make the money, but it still belongs to me.
Mm.
And about 2 or 3 days later, I got a phone call. As soon as I learned, it just penetrated into my heart. I was like, wow, forgive me, Lord, you know. And then 2 or 3 days later, I got a phone call. They found my paycheck. But the lesson was learned. You know?
Oh, that's good. I think all of us would have trouble with that. That's difficult. It's a big thing. I mean, right. You know, let's face it, everybody just, it just is.
Yeah, it is, you know.
It's a hard one to go through.
It is hard. And it's hard to increase your faith and know that God will care for all your needs. You know, you think about the Israelites wandering around the wilderness, but every single need was met. Their shoes never worn out. The food, he even gave them what they thought they wanted, which was not a good thing for them. Because they all got sick. Remember, they were getting sick and tired of eating the manna, so they asked for meat, and God sends them meat, and then they got physically ill from it. So, you know, even sometimes in our trials, we don't even think rationally, you know, we're just complaining, you know, and God says, okay, I'll give it to you, and then, boom, you know, then you're going back to him saying, oh, my goodness, this was not the right thing to ask for, you know, so it's, but every single need throughout each trial, I don't know how many times I would have a hissy fit over something, you know, and then when I look back, I'm like, what was my problem, you know? And what was I giving you such a hard time for, or myself a hard time for, you know? And
trials for myself, when I look back, this is probably a bad thing, but I have a little bit of pride that says, I got through that. And and then I have to stop and remember, you know, I know God brought me through it.
Right.
But it builds the confidence in you.
It does. I think his faith in him, because he is faithful even if we are faithless. And I think that even sometimes when we find that we're lacking faith, he says, ask and I'll give it to you. But I always remember certain times when I'm like, oh, you know, I believe, but help my unbelief, Lord. And I'm saying I believe you could do it, but I don't believe you could do it for me. You know, and even though my unbelief might be...
I'm sorry. This is getting ready to cut us off, and I don't want to cut us off right in the middle of this.
I'm sorry.
But thank you so much for calling. You added a whole lot of really good insight for me, and I'm sure for anybody that's listening. So thank you.
Okay, and, you're welcome. I love you, Mitzi.
Yeah. Oh, thank you very much. And just pray for me that the show will build, and then we can talk about topics that people need to hear about, and that God will just enlighten our minds with his wisdom.
Amen.
So I'll put you on my prayer list. You've been so much a pleasure to talk with. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Mitzi. Bye-bye. Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye. Okay, so I'm being prompted that I have 10 seconds, and I would just like to say I appreciate everybody that called, and God, I thank you for being so faithful and just blessing us with your knowledge, because we desire to walk in your knowledge, not our own, because we want something more. We want everything that you promised for us, God. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.